welcome back to the third episode of Reptile and Chill in a row.
Oh, you was waiting for my bit there, weren't you?
That, yeah,
you did know, it, I did it once.
Yeah.
I did it once.
I was perfectly quiet then. I'm in a bad mood tonight.
Oh, you're pissed. You're pissed, aren't you?
I am a little bit pissed.
Mike's upset because he doesn't know how to arrange a guest.
You know what? My guest is good as gold. I went to school with him, and he's got a really, really interesting sort of like story to tell and everything. And unfortunately, last week he had some issues and couldn't get on and forgot, basically. He apologised profusely, and then literally he was like, "I'm so sorry. Can we do it tonight?" I'm like, "No. We did it. We winged it. It was just the three of us. Don't worry. We'll smash it next Wednesday." So 3 o'clock today. Message him. Everything all right for tonight? Nothing. We're literally waiting here going, "No, not 2 weeks on the trot."
So basically, he doesn't know how to say "fuck off." He actually doesn't want to do it, but
just
our guest,
who knows?
Our guest this week has saved the bacon, so I do really appreciate that. Just a little bit of homework before we get into the absolute blasphemy that this show is going to be. So if you want to help support our podcast, then please head on over to reptileandchill.com, look at our hoodies and our t-shirts for sale, our social media. We're on Instagram, YouTube and Facebook at the handle of Reptile and Chill. And if you do want to help us that little bit more, you can support us on our Patreon, which is patreon.com/reptileandchill.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're getting really good at that now.
I switched off. What happened?
Right, also, right, okay, I've got an idea for a new feature, and I reckon Mike's going to absolutely boss it.
Go on.
Right, okay, so I'm going to give you a topic, and I'm going to set a timer for 2 minutes, and you've got to talk about that topic. You can't once.
Oh. No way. That's impossible.
Okay. Oh, God.
No awkward silence. No nothing.
Okay. Okay, 2 minutes. That's a long time for the,
it's
like,
a
the,
long
the first
time.
One.
Do you want to do a minute?
A minute for the
first
one.
A minute. One. Right, okay.
A minute.
So your topic, Danny, would you like to pick the first topic? Keep it reptile related, obviously.
Reptile related?
Yeah. Why?
Oh, I don't know about that. That's going to be hard. Does it have to be reptile related?
No.
Make it so much better.
I've got to
make it birds of prey.
First topic is one. You have to speak for 1 minute about female condoms. Go.
Okay.
Hang on. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Okay, we are talking about female condoms. They are actually called femidoms. They came out, I would say, about 10 years ago now. It doesn't seem like 10 years ago, but I remember them coming out onto the market. They are a kind of Durex material made of latex inserted into the vagina as opposed to a normal male condom, which is put over the penis, but this is put into the female vagina, and it will also sort of like act as it will stop sexually transmitted diseases. It will also stop the male sperm going into the vagina and fertilizing the egg. So it also stops pregnancy.
3, 2, 1.
Anymore.
God, that is so
right. Well, that was two ums. Not bad for a first attempt. What you failed to say
like
is they
me
make
even knowing about it.
They make great Halloween outfits.
If I knew that, I would have said it. God, that's hard.
So I think that's something we should do every single week, and that the listeners should give us a topic.
Yes.
But like, they can send it to me, and I won't tell either of you what it is until on the. Yeah, definitely. This is a winner.
See,
this is.
What I've realised is Hoss is now avoiding any of these little things for him to do himself, isn't he?
He is. Yeah.
Since the book. This is the book episode.
Well, can we not talk about the book? Because I'm still having counselling over that.
Can we talk a little bit about kids going back to school?
No.
Are you going to start crying?
Why? No.
Are you going to start fapping?
I don't know. I think more parents this week will be cheering after having their kids home for 6 months
than actually crying.
Obviously, the kids have been off school for a long time. So you've got that and the return, the uncertainty, whether it's safe to send your kids back and this, that and the other. But then also sending them to secondary school or, you know, the next level up. That's like even more like nerve-wracking. So as a parent, I don't know how I'd feel, mate. So how do you feel?
Well, Billy went back today. You saw the video. He obviously was really worried about going. He just legged it down the drive. See you, Dad. Off he went. But yeah, he was fine. I spoke to him this morning and he was a little bit... Billy's like me. When Billy gets anxious or nervous, he looks for things to take out on other people. So he had a go at Sam this morning for his shirt being buttoned up, but it was a brand new shirt. And he was like, "Mom, you shouldn't button my shirt all the way up." And she was like, "Oh, okay, I won't." It was just because it was a new shirt. Yeah. Then he had an issue with his blazer. The lapels had a funny fold in, and he's like, "This lapel's not right." And he was looking for somebody to have a go at. And
sounds like me.
He said, "I'm a little bit like that. If I'm anxious or worried about something, I tend
blame everyone else,
especially people who are close to us."
I'm the total opposite. I'm just like phoning off, not talking to no one. You can all go fuck yourselves.
But I had a little chat with him downstairs, and I sort of like said, "Look, you know, it's quite good what their school does. Only year 7 went in today, so he was actually worried about because he's only small." He was actually worried about being the smallest kid in the school. Obviously, he's gone from year 6 now where you're top of the tree, aren't you? Although he was one of the smallest in his year, he's still sort of like a lot bigger than most of the other kids. And now he's going to be one of the smallest in the youngest age group in the school.
In the whole school, yeah.
Yeah, so he was actually really, really anxious about that, even though he hardly mentioned it. So, but yeah, I had a chat with him and I said, it's okay. I said, I remember being anxious going to school, you know, but he's been today and, you know, he's loved it. And I remember feeling the same with Maya. I mean, she's going into year 10 tomorrow, which is frightening.
Scary.
You know, Billy sat in the car yesterday and he said,
I can hear him welling up. Can you hear it, Danny?
No, not at all.
No.
He sat in the car yesterday, Billy did, and we was going through a few things and he said, yeah, and I can't believe it. Maya's going to be driving in, you know, soon. And I said, well, it's 2 years' time when she start driving. He said, yeah, soon she'll be sat in there with a boyfriend and her two kids in the back. And I went, I hope it's not a boyfriend with two kids in the back. I hope it's a husband. And we was just laughing about it. It's the way you come out with it. It really made me laugh. But yeah, I mean, I was absolutely gutted, welled up, ran straight upstairs and did my little video of you know how upset I was with him going back to school and not being able to know what to do with my time.
Everyone needs to watch it, of course, because it's such a good video.
Did you enjoy yourself, Mike?
Look, let's be honest. When kids have been at home, right, for 6 months and you've had no time to yourself, every parent, right, is going to run upstairs and masturbate when their kids have gone to school today.
On that note, before we go any further into whatever the hell you get up to...
Ruining
Reptile
and Jill.
Shall we bring the guest on?
I think we should.
Oh, so I don't know.
He's been
Saviour.
He's been I mean, on
Saviour of Evening Radio.
He has sat there really quietly.
I think he's gone.
Which all the other guests should take note of.
It's just one button, isn't it, Danny? It's called
one
the what button?
One button. Come on, guys. One fucking button.
Yeah, literally, it's the mute button. I use it all the time on these two. It's great.
Prick.
No one heard that.
You're
So the guest for this week has been on before, and the last time we had him on he was in Thailand working, and I believe he's back in the UK at the moment. I know we was talking, I think it was maybe early today or yesterday, he's due to go back, but he wants to talk about something specific tonight. So welcome to the show, Charlie.
Thank you, mate. No, I'm actually still in Thailand, but I've finished my work now, so I'm actually just chilling out now.
Okay.
Party time.
Exactly. What a sob story. I finished all my work. I've got a chill in Thailand. Oh.
Disgusting.
I've got to admit, the last 6 months, right, I've blocked Charlie. I unblocked him last week. I had consistent, repetitive, you've got no work when you're getting the flight over, mate. When you're getting the flight over, mate, have you booked a flight yet? You're coming over here. When you're coming over, mate, have you booked a flight yet? And it's just like, I'm not being funny, mate, but the airports are closed. I can't.
Well, I was looking at England, I was looking at Thailand, and I saw how many snakes we had here. It was like 124 different species, and I was looking at England, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll stay here for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I am kind of worried that that's the only factor that kept you in Thailand.
I promise that was the only factor.
Like we all love snakes and stuff, but you know, fucking hell.
Right. Being honest now, mate, and obviously we're good friends now. We've got to know each other over the last like few months. Since you've stopped work, how many ladyboys have you been with?
I was going to say.
There's one straight away here. There's popped straight up. Is it Richie Smith?
All right, we'll be honest for the podcast. Actually, zero.
Oh, mate.
I know, I'm sorry.
Oh, how many opportunities have you had?
Oh, many, but I mean, it's not quite my thing.
It's definitely Hoss's place.
Have you ever tried it, mate?
No.
So how do you know it's not your thing?
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't take any really.
You can't knock it until you've tried it, mate. And I heard they knock.
So I haven't tried stabbing myself in the eye, but I know it's not for me.
I have. It's not. It isn't nice, no.
Well, you can put it that way. That's true. No, it's good to be back, guys. I'm really. It's good.
Charlie, can I ask you? How's things been for you over in Thailand during lockdown? You know, what was put in place whilst you was over there?
Well, to be honest with you, it's not really been too bad at all. I mean, when I spoke to you last, it was really bad. Like, I wasn't being able to go out, like, herping every night like I was normally. But shortly after I got off from you guys, they pretty much put everything back to normal. You still had to go in shops and have your temperature taken and have masks on and stuff, but apart from that, it was like really normal, so I didn't really have any problems. Clubs opened back up shortly after, and they've only had about 3,000-ish cases in the country at all. So
it's sort of like seemed to be kept under control. Those small cases, the small amount of cases, and then I suppose did they lock down the country so nobody could come in? And
yeah, so no one's been allowed to come in. A lot of my friends that wanted to come in haven't been allowed, which is unfortunate, but they've done well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And you know those 3,000-ish cases, are they very concentrated in certain areas, I take it?
I would say it's mostly in Bangkok. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I've known of no one around the areas I've been in that have had it.
Okay. Yeah. It's mad, isn't it? Because obviously, if all the transport shuts down because of they're trying to isolate people, then it's a long, dangerous way to get around by foot.
I know, it isn't great.
No, it's mad. Okay, so we were going to book you on the podcast in a couple of weeks, but obviously you've helped us out tonight. So you put a post up yesterday. Was it yesterday or today?
It was today, actually.
Today. Yeah. And it was talking about people relocating snakes and doing it wrong. So before we get into that, do you want to talk about kind of like what the work that you do when you are relocating snakes and how that works and how it goes about?
Sure, yeah. So The thing is about relocating snakes is, well, like, I won't get into too much about what I said just yet, but the main thing is taking them all out of harm's way for the snakes mainly, because for the most part, they want to go the opposite way to the humans. Mm-hmm. They definitely don't want to be specifically in human habitats because it's a lot, well, as you guys know already, they want to go the other way. We spoke about that last time. And
it's dangerous for them, isn't it? You know,
exactly, and they see a big scary human and they definitely want to go the other way, whether they're a king cobra, 3 meters, 4 meters, whatever, they still want to go the other way. Mm-hmm. So that's the main thing, really. And we know in Asia, people often get scared by cobras and snakes in general, and will kill them. So we want to take them out of harm's way. And that way, we're preventing any problems with humans or the snakes. There's no chance for a bite for them. We've worked with these animals for a while, and we can take them out of harm's way and prevent any problems. So that's the main
whilst you're on that as well, we've spoke about it before on the show. I can't remember if it was your podcast or somebody else's, saying that a lot of people get bit by trying to remove the snake or trying to kill the snake. If they'd have just leave it alone, they'd actually be okay. But going in to intervene, it usually puts them at risk, and they're usually the people that get bit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think you spoke about that on the topic of the South African snakes as well.
Yes.
And that is the problem, yeah. It's unfortunate, but very true.
Okay, so...
Carry on, mate. No, but yeah, that is what we try to educate as well, that is where most people get bit, where they try and handle or remove the snakes or kill the snakes. High percentage of bites happen.
I can imagine. So when you're getting these calls to come out and remove snakes from people's properties or gardens or wherever, is it a case of, is it like an official thing, or I don't know, the police ring, or are the public actually getting in touch with you?
So around where I am, it's both. Sometimes I'll be in the village tracking one of my snakes, and they'll say, oh, we've had, like, I actually had a, well, since I spoke to you guys, I've had a good few months, so I've got a few more good stories to share with you guys. But we actually had a very large python enter someone's chicken coop, and it ate 3 full-size chickens, like big chickens. And we didn't see the snake, but there was tracks through the sand, and there was 3 of these chickens that just disappeared. It couldn't have been anything else. Like, nothing could have eaten these chickens. And we saw the big python tracks, but never found the snake. But we get calls like that where we go and investigate and try and see if we can help. But, I mean, if the python's gone and eaten 3 of these chickens, it's going to be sitting low for a while. It's going to be good, you know?
Yeah.
3 chickens. I don't know how the hell this python must have been massive.
Well, I'm not being funny, mate, but I would say I'm smaller than a reticulated python, and I could down 3 chickens pretty easily.
I think that's a challenge to be accepted. I don't think you could.
I think a challenge would be to see him get them in his other hole.
You always have to bring it back to that.
Well, this is butt plugs and chill, right?
Oh, fuck. Oh, shit. I thought this was reptiles and chill. Shit.
Oh, no, this is
no,
the
no,
new
this
show.
Is why we've
no, hence why we've been talking about
ladyboys. Yeah, this is why we've asked you on, because you're like the Thailand expert and stuff. So we thought, you know.
The
show.
And yeah, everyone loves a good stereotype. So.
Charlie, on a serious note, I know, like, Huss give it the big and saying he's had to sort of, like, mute you, but we know that Huss is desperate to go to Thailand. Has he, like, been stalking you constantly?
Constantly. I get messages every day, but it was
daily.
Do you want to come back on the show? I was like,
yeah.
I guess.
You know what?
I'm
going to share all the nudes that you've been sending me now. Fuck you.
Yes.
Yeah, now you fucked it.
Is that the one with the crash helmet on as well?
Yeah, it's massive.
He hasn't fucked it yet.
His helmet's massive. The crash helmet.
Is it?
The crash helmet.
Oh,
Right, so going back onto topic before Danny gets a boner.
Like we were saying.
So,
too late.
Oh God, no.
the official and unofficial calls, but yeah, we have a rescue team in the area, and sometimes they call us to help us to help them out if they have like difficult circumstances where they're not sure they want to deal with it. We have more experience, so sometimes they'll call us out if there's king cobras in difficult situations.
I just think the majority of the call outs, it would be just like that cobra is in a cupboard. He's 4 meters long. I'm all right. Tell you what, right, we'll just leave him there.
There's a snake in my kitchen.
Someone get it out.
We'll just leave the snake there. It's fine. Occasionally throw a chicken in. We'll be all right.
I can't, to be fair, I mean, in Thailand as well, you've got some pretty gnarly snakes. Mm. So, you know, I can see where people come from there. You know, it's a...
That's true.
It's a very, irrational, you know, an instant fear, isn't it? Like, oh, my fucking God, there's a snake in my house. I'm going to get it out right fucking now.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's not like you might try and get this out and you might get a little bit hurt. If you fucking try and get this out and you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna die. Simple.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a pretty life or death situation.
And if you don't die, you're pretty fucking lucky.
Oh yeah, you're very lucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not 5 minutes away from a hospital, are you? Either.
No, we're not. Even if you are in some of these locations, they might not have the right antivenom for you, so that.
Yeah, I can't even imagine they're the best of hospitals anyway, are they?
They're okay, to be honest, but and Thailand, actually, in Asia, is the best for antivenom in the whole of Asia. Most countries in Asia get their antivenom from Thailand, fortunate in that regard, but obviously in some rural parts of Thailand, they may not have the antivenom on hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, we've had two very interesting rescues the last few months, so I'll get into those later on.
Should we move it forward just a little bit? Do you want to talk
about... I had a quick question just going on about, you know, when people ring up and say, sorry. No, we can't ask. I just wanted to ask. Is there sort of like some set questions that you ask people when they ring up and, you know, do you try and identify what snake it is before you get there, or is there a sort of like set agenda that you sort of like run through with that person when they ring up?
Absolutely, yeah. For the most part, if it's not the rescue team, we'll try and identify what the snake is, if they can give us any colours or anything, because, I mean, if it's a harmless snake, hopefully they can try and sweep it into a dustpan and get it out. If it's a small snake, that is what we can... If they can send us photos, if it's a friend of ours, maybe send us photos, and we just say, right, you're not in any danger, you can just sweep it out of a dustpan or something. Or if it's in their garden, maybe they can spray some water on it. That often helps, and there's no harm
for
the snake there. That's something we recommend as well, spraying water on snakes if they're in the garden. They'll certainly move off them.
Vinegar's good. I hate it.
Vinegar, maybe, yeah. I don't know if it does any harm to the snake. I haven't looked at it.
No, they hate it. It just stinks. It's horrible. They hate it. Possibly, no, just don't spray it in their mouth. I don't want to eat it. Just spray it near them. The smell is like they
honestly bolt. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've seen someone do it and they bolt real quick.
I know sort of like mouthwash, you usually carry a little bit of mouthwash in a spray bottle.
But in your hand. I've got some mouthwash in my hand. I'm ready for snakes. Let's go.
No, in a little spray bottle, just if we go to a school or something and there's going to be kids handling them. And if ever, you know, worst case scenario, one decides to, you know, not play ball and latches on, at least then I've got something that I can just sort of like spray.
The other good thing as well is alcohol. You know, if you go into places like that and do a little shows, you obviously carry a little alcohol gel around with you.
I'm about to say alcohol gel. Yeah. I was like, mate, you can't take a bottle of Captain Morgan's into the
No, don't go taking rum into the school. You get funny looks, okay? Don't do it. All right. Or bags of sweets. It does not come across well. Right.
What about chicken nuggets?
Yeah. No, chicken nuggets are bad. For kids, but I mean for snakes.
Turkey, fuck off. Turkey Twizzlers are now back on the menu, so we can take them in.
Oh, turkey drummers. Do you remember them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Turkey drummers, chips and beans, and a shit brick for afters.
Yeah.
Oh, we might get hungry now.
Turkey drummers, and then those pancake things. Remember the pancake things?
Oh, crispy pancakes.
Crispy pancakes.
You're so old. Oh. how are you that old?
No, you can get those from Asda, mate. They're top banana.
Only in fucking Birmingham.
Birmingham. Right. That's not even a Birmingham accent, mate.
It was Liverpool, and you know what it's like about Liverpool. And
according to Danny, Liverpool and Birmingham are basically the same place.
They are. They might as well be the same fucking thing.
Right. Okay. So moving swiftly forward, before Danny fucks up geography even more. So the post that you put up on Facebook the other day, you were saying basically that people aren't releasing snakes correctly. And it could possibly cause damage to not only the snake, but obviously, but people if you put it into the wrong area.
Where is that specifically? Thailand or everywhere or UK or?
So this is actually like everywhere. If you're releasing wild snakes incorrectly, it was about relocating really because where Hoss saw this was on a group that I help manage.
Snakes of Iskan.
Snakes of Isan, yeah, which is a region of Thailand. And basically, I was saying that if you do have to relocate a snake out of your house, don't relocate it too far because it can actually kill the snake.
Yeah.
There was a lot of studies on this in America as well with rattlesnakes. Basically, they studied if you relocate it outside of its home range, it will die within a matter of weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what I was getting at.
It's used to that food source in that area, and it'll probably have to learn a different way of hunting or different. There may not be that food source that it's used to catching in another area.
Yeah, it's hard to say exactly, Mike. But I mean, that's what I would think if I put you randomly in the desert somewhere and you didn't know where you were. You would struggle to survive.
Oh, mate, you've got Hoss 14 mile away from a kebab shop. He's dead.
After a few pints.
I'm not really into those country calves, mate. It's not my thing. But I suppose as well, you can talk about the parameters, the humidity and temperature difference in different microclimates in itself, you know. So if you look at Australia in itself, we think it is a very hot, dry country, but it's not. That's the outback. But even the outback has got different humidity and temperature gradients in it, with animals living in little pockets. So if you move it, being uneducated, and move it to the wrong place, you might as well have just put a spade through its head.
But playing devil's advocate though, surely these animals are pretty hardy. A little bit of humidity change and stuff shouldn't really do too much damage. Are we talking like if you put it in the wrong place, it's actually just gonna die? Is that like...
Sure, so for cobras, obviously cobras are a bit different. I've studied them quite a lot, so I know how big their home ranges are. And if I've studied this animal for 6 months, I know exactly where their home range is. Yeah. So I know where I can relocate it. And for the most part, it can be kilometers wide, like more, if not more. But for other smaller snakes, I can't say how big their home range is. If I release the snake outside of its home range, I'm pretty sure it would be in big trouble. We're not sure exactly why this is, but I think, like you said, it would be their hunting habits, where they can hide and shelter. And also there's other studies to say like different genetics in certain regions, you'd be like contaminating gene pools and things like that. So
yeah, I would say to hazard a guess, I would say in theory the one that makes the most sense is you've just dropped it in a place it doesn't know. So it doesn't know the safe areas, it doesn't know hiding spots, it doesn't know the terrain very well. So it's probably, more often than not, it's probably most vulnerable to predators.
Predators.
So it's getting picked off, I would say.
I suppose another way you could look at it as well is from like a disease perspective. So if you've got like a certain area, and I don't know, you've got a certain disease in the area, those snakes have become intolerant to it, so their white blood cells are their antibodies and
I would say that would make sense.
So you move it into another area where there's another virus or another disease that it hasn't come across before, then it's not going to be immune to it, is it?
I'd say that would make sense if you're talking like a fucking long way away.
But do you know what I mean? Not even that, though. You know what I mean? You've got pockets of certain microclimates and stuff. I've just scratched my head and I'm bleeding. Oh, for fuck's
sake. And he's got a pocket.
See, I suppose
he's got a pocket of AIDS. He's just.
I'm bleeding. I was sick last week. I'm bleeding this week.
It's when you're looking at, like, obviously we're in the UK, our climate is pretty much similar throughout the whole of the UK. It might be a bit slightly colder climate up
couple
north.
Of degrees.
Yeah, and, yeah. But nothing. But when you're talking about countries like Thailand that has so many variants of
massive,
climate and rainforest and open areas and you know, these where you can actually drive 10 mile. And which, you know, I would say, you know, somebody's found a snake, drive it 10 mile up the road, well out of the way, put it out there. That climate, I should imagine, and correct me if I'm wrong, Charlie, could be totally different.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's what we were trying to get at. That's what we're trying to get out with that post as well.
I suppose there's altitude as well, like the terrain, you know, you go 10 miles and you could be completely different, like, well, you know.
Yeah, right. You cut out there, Danny. It was saying pretty different altitude.
Altitude, sorry. Yeah. Like here, it's like fairly, like, you know, as terrain goes for continents and islands and whatever, it's pretty flat.
Well, it's pretty easy to describe what goes on. It gets sunny for a few days, and then it's wet, and then it's wet again.
I've been hearing that same story.
Yeah, it's not good. So I suppose from the villagers' perspective, or the people who are living in the houses you're removing the snakes from, is they just want the snake gone, and they think if you're going to just walk half a mile up the road and release it, they're going to be convinced that it's going to come back, and that's not the case, is it, really?
Well, yeah, so this is one thing to add on to about the habitats, is often people think, oh, snakes got lost out of the forest, they've come to a house, they've got lost, let's bring it all the way back to the forest. But often snakes aren't, that's not their habitat.
No.
Like, spitting cobras are always around your houses.
Yeah.
Just, you don't know they're around your houses, so they're just taking all the rats out of your houses, you know? Go on.
No, I was just going to say that recently on one of the posts, on one of the groups that I admin, we had this, it's a local group. And somebody had found a grass snake in their back garden. And everyone was saying, oh, you know, just take it to the nearest woods, take it away from the house. And a couple of us were categorically like, no, that snake isn't from the woods that's 2 miles up the road. It's from where you're living. That's its home. Exactly. You're just lucky enough, not unlucky, but lucky enough to see it for once.
Well, we had a guest, and I can't remember who it was now, top of my head. And we was on about, there was a lot of call outs to this certain new estate, and it was adders. Mm-hmm. Adders were everywhere. They were literally like on people's porches, on like the pavements and stuff.
Wow,
and
amazing.
All the homeowners were kicking off. And we're getting in touch with the housing estate agents or wherever it was to, you know, to sort this massive adder problem. And
it's a human
in
problem.
In theory, it was just like, well, actually, some knobrot decided to build a house where the adders lived.
Yeah.
Which is really bad, actually, because technically that building works should have had, like, economists and stuff.
An ecology report, mate.
They should have known that.
But you know yourself, mate, Mike, and working in that kind of thing in the trade that you have been in. Like, ecology reports are about as useful as empty McDonald's wrapper, you know what I mean? It's
To some companies, they can be.
Let's put it this way. I would say the majority of the big companies, they get ecology reports done so that they can just crack on with the work, if you know what I mean. It's not about finding the animal and saving the species. It's literally get a quick ecology report done so we've got that piece of paper so we can crack on. Do you know what I mean? And it's quite wrong, really.
Some are really, really funny about it. Like, you know, guys, a couple of years ago I was working on the airbase and... they had an ecologist there and they were looking for pipistrelles, little bats. And any time that they came across them, that was it. Stop work. Get off site. That's it. You don't go near them. End of story. because they're obviously protected and blah blah blah. They were actually like
that was good,
really good about it, like really really good about it.
I have seen. Sorry, Danny, you carry on, mate. I thought you.
No, that's it. No, that's it, mate. Some are really good. Some are a bit, you know, meh.
Another thing what I found is if the ecology report shows up that there is bats in the area, what they will tend to do then is put up bat boxes in the area and still carry on with the works, and then they've justified themselves to demolishing a building. Which...
I know with HS2, so what they have been doing is if we are going to have to go through this land, but what we're going to do is we're going to try and build something close to it better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like...
What they say and what they do is...
Yeah, well, firstly as well, I don't know how you can make a habitat better...
Natural habitat that's been there for hundreds of thousands of years, maybe. Yeah,
I was just like, I don't know how. I mean,
it might be better in another 1,000 years.
Yeah, I know. Like sometimes animals are like not thriving where they are in their habitat, and it could be the parameters or whatever could be better for them. But in the same breath, it's just while they're there, they're breeding, they're eating, they're living. Like, but just because you want to, I don't know, put whatever in the way of that habitat doesn't give you the right to move it. And obviously there's a lot of there's a heck of a lot of protests going on this week actually about this kind of stuff. I was in Welshpool on Sunday and the Extinction Rebellion people were up there protesting, and I did have to take a photo to help their cause. I don't agree with everything they do, but they have some really really good valid points, and they
just some of the slogans that they were holding, you know, it's save this planet for our children, not for us, and things
just
like
got
that.
Some strong
and, like,
and the one thing they do say, and they quote someone else, it's you know, when someone, I don't know, something happens and you go, oh, someone's got to do something about that. Somebody's got to do something.
Well,
I woke up this morning and I realised I was somebody.
Uh-huh.
And that, you know, and they do, and some of the actions that they do, they're non-violent, but they do some crazy stuff. To get the message out there, it's all about motivating people, because people in Parliament, they just, they've only got so much time, haven't they? And then the next person's into these kind of agendas that take years and years and years and years, they just get put underneath the rug.
I mean, technically, as you say, you know, if there's a, you know, a species like the adder or pipistrelle or something like, well, really anything like, you know, anything like that. That's living there, breeding, and, you know, quite successful in that area. What really gives us the right to decide that we should be the ones in that area instead breeding and doing well?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Thailand, and obviously there's a lot more natural resource and a lot more natural space than there is in the UK. But with tourism growing at a rapid rate over there, maybe not this year, but, you know, in general. Is that encroaching on habitat now? Are they starting to like take away more of the forests and jungles and stuff?
Or are they really good about it? And, you know,
Personally, I've not seen much of it, because the places where I've been have been like national parks or highly protected areas. And I do see, like, over here there is a lot of protected areas, from what I've seen, but there is also a lot of poaching that goes on. Of wildlife and like flora and fauna, as in wood, mushrooms, whether it be whatever, there is a lot of poaching of those kind of things as well.
So the poaching,
are they like are they locals or are they coming in from like far away and poaching that land?
I think they can be both. I mean, I've seen people like breaking into national parks or sneaking into national parks, rather, as when you've got an area that size, it's hard to protect all of it, like with a big fence or whatever.
And you don't really want to interrupt.
Yes.
Yeah. And do you think in Thailand they appreciate what they've got more than, say, over here, you know, as a fast-paced, you know, first world society?
It's really hard to say. I mean, the education... for some people here is really good. Like, there's a lot of like herpetologists I've met over here that are Thai, and they're incredible. They're really amazing, and they really appreciate what they do. So I'd say those that do really do, but for the most part, a lot of them, it's difficult.
When you say like there's a lot of national parks and obviously a lot of very protected areas, do you think that you know, the people in Thailand like appreciate their like the land and the wild more than we do here?
Yeah, I would say they probably they appreciate it in some ways, like the villagers near the national parks often will be allowed to forage some amount of mushrooms, I believe. I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think they're allowed to forage some amount of mushrooms if they live close to the national parks. I'm not totally sure on that. But I've seen them. So I would say in that way they appreciate it. Like, in that way I sort of was quite respectful of them that they... Because I don't really see many people in England going out foraging mushrooms compared to people here that would appreciate
but
that.
But again,
sort
that's
of...
that's lack of education. I think if me, Danny and Mike went out foraging for mushrooms, at least two of us would die.
I'm pretty much guarantee all three of us would.
You know, Mike, you're probably, I'd probably be able to name one or two that would kill me. I wouldn't dare say if they wouldn't kill me, but you seem to be a bit more well-read than I am.
Do you know what though? You are not in, on most of the pages, and I'm on some sort of like fungi pages, and you are not allowed to sort of like talk about whether they're edible or not. Some of the well-known people in I think it was in the UK went out, three of them went out and ate what they thought was edible mushrooms, and they all ended up in a coma. And they was they knew what they were looking for, and they still ended up. So the problem is certain mushrooms in certain in other areas may resemble a mushroom, but resemble that mushroom for a reason.
Like, being someone who IDs snakes often, like on Facebook pages and stuff, honestly, those people that ID mushrooms on mushroom pages on Facebook, they're incredible, because I would never want to do that. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of variables there are in mushrooms and the amount of different species there are is ridiculous.
Okay, bringing it back to Thailand just a little bit. So, we got the national parks and they're protected. Now, I might be getting my wires crossed here, but if I'm a tourist and I want to go herping, it's not quite as simple as just being able to walk into a national park, is it? You have to have permits.
No, to be honest with you, I'm not totally sure. I think you would have to pay your fee to go in there, and you'd have to be also staying somewhere inside the national park. So you couldn't just walk in there and stay there overnight. Exactly. Yeah, and you'd probably have to be accompanied by a guide, because I know people that have tried to go into national parks and hurt, and they'll get in trouble if they got spotted by someone that worked there. So you'd have to go in there, pay your fee, and then you'd have to stay at probably a lodge that was inside the national park.
I would imagine that just, I sort of, well, instantly assume you could potentially be a poacher. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say, Danny. I should imagine it's letting them know who you are, you know, so that's why you go in and you speak to them.
We should be fine then, lads, because we're Reptile and Chill.
We're Reptile and Chill.
Everyone fucking knows who we are.
Everyone knows us. Like, everyone's wearing our T-shirt in Thailand, for fuck's sake, you know?
That's what we need to do. We need to get Charlie a little tiny, like, little market store selling Reptile and Chill merch. And we'll like, they'll think it's all cool because it's British, and like, we're onto something.
You could be our Thailand distributor.
I was going to suggest that to you guys after the show, but you beat me to it. So
yeah, don't leave it to private. The fans can hear it all.
Yeah, man, you've heard it here first. Thailand Chill on tour.
Yeah. A note to everyone else: if you would like to be the supplier of your country, hit us up.
we're not going to Wales, because Wales is just wet.
This is but by the Chill.
We're doing so well.
I've got a question. So Charlie, you said
hang on.
Like...
Mike, is your hand in the air?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Michael.
Obviously, Charlie, you said all your work is done now. And sort of like you've got a bit of sort of like relaxation and sort of like time off. So have you moved location now, or?
I have, yeah. So not
very far. Can I talk a little bit about,
Sure, not very far, about 3 hours. So I'm back where sort of my family is, my stepmom, my dad is. I have finished work. But however, in a few more days, I'm actually going with some friends to go and look for more snakes. Down in the south of Thailand, and where one of the most biodiverse, rich for snakes areas is in Thailand. So I'm super excited for that with a few people. It's going to be awesome.
Mate, I'm so jealous. It sounds like work's awesome, and then when you have some time off, oh yeah, we're just going to South Island to look at loads more wildlife.
You know, it's just like in between, we'll just chuck a couple of boat trips and tiki bars, and you know what I mean. And you know, Danny could
some magic mushrooms. Yeah, it's like, you know, he's all he's talked about all this episode. Fucking mushrooms.
Right, here's a question for you, and this is really This is from the heart, this is.
Oh,
how many pairs of harem pants do you own?
Absolutely zero.
Get him off.
He's lying.
Was
he lying?
No, he calls them elephant pants, don't I?
Why are you always lying?
No, literally no.
Why?
Oh my God.
Because I've been here for 10 years. I'm not lying.
they're comfy.
I'm not a tourist.
Charlie,
anymore,
but did you say I've been here for 10 years and I'm not a tourist?
You still speak English, you're a tourist.
I'm not walking through Bangkok saying I'm so free, man, and wearing elephant pants.
I feel the Dutch walking around with clogs on. It's just a tourist.
Sorry,
yeah, but any tourist walking around Amsterdam with clogs on needs shooting.
Okay, Charlie, I have a question. How is your Thai language speech?
Thai language.
Can you speak Thai?
Is it Thai? Is it you just say Thai? Is there a certain language like where you're specifically staying?
No, it's Thai. Yeah, well,
it's just Thai.
Kind of.
Can you speak Thai?
I can speak Thai.
What,
you're
fluently?
Not going to bring someone that's from Thai and like I've got to speak to them. Man.
Can you speak? Is it fluent?
It's not fluent, no.
I mean, 10 years, mate, it's taken, and you're still not fluent. Like, what the fuck have you been doing?
Dude, I know people have been here 20 years.
Also, guys, Mike had to do it. I think Charlie has to do it now in Thai. One minute, random topic.
Just talk Thai.
And we do have someone. Right, who can vouch for the language? Right,
yeah,
no,
Nathan,
yeah,
he can vouch.
No, he doesn't speak Thai.
No,
what does he speak? No, he
Indonesian.
Speaks
Indonesian,
something else.
Indonesian.
Okay, Zach and Luke, right? They've been to Thailand enough times,
right? Okay, you know what? 60 seconds, I'd like you to talk about Pad Thai in Thai. No.
Oh,
ready?
Why you gotta do this to me, guys?
You ready? Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. Pom chop pad thai pawa. Pom mao mak. Pom bai gin pad thai lao go pom mai mao na khab. Lao go puni mai mi bird ho na khab.
I'm impressed though, Charlie.
What did you say?
I didn't even expect 5 seconds, let alone that. That was pretty good.
I said, I like pad thai because in the night when I get drunk, I can go and eat pad thai. And then tomorrow, I don't have a headache because I've eaten pad thai.
Dude, I mean, to be honest, even the accent was good and everything. I'm actually genuinely surprised.
How do you know the accent was good, Danny?
I've heard people talk in Thailand while they're making
It could have been a Liverpudlian Thai.
Hi. Do it again. I want you to say
Danny
in
is
Thai
a wanker.
That'll do. Danny is a wanker. Or some sort of insult.
Wanker, okay.
Just an insult. Danny is short and fat.
Danny Owen McRoy. That's just Danny is fat.
Danny what?
Danny Owen McRoy.
Danny Owen McRoy.
Owen
McRoy.
Hoss, no one said mackerel.
No one said that. Like mackerel.
Where did you get that from?
God, I'm never coming on the show again. You guys,
honestly, I can only apologise.
Don't apologise. Ask him to say more.
It reminds me of like when I was younger, and like I'd go up to one of my Sikh friends and go, "Right, teach me swear words in Punjabi."
How do you say "fuck off" in your language?
To be honest, mate, you don't need to ask how to say fuck off, because it doesn't matter where you go in the world, everyone understands fuck off.
The middle finger.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you said that you've obviously, since the last time you was on the podcast, you've had a bit of time to do some fucked up shit. So have you got some stories for us?
Not too much fucked up shit, to be honest. I've been working quite a lot, so I'll go home and sleep. However,
interesting, he said.
Well,
I was trying to get more out of him.
I was talking about reptile like relocations. I thought that was what this podcast was about.
I must have been misled.
no, we did have an interesting relocation actually of a king cobra. It happened to be two king cobras actually. We got called out with a rescue team. They said they had a king cobra stuck in a big reservoir, like a big dam, and the sides were really steep, so they couldn't get the king cobra out. Anyway, we drove about an hour and a half to go and try and help this king cobra, but they had actually managed to get it out by the time we got there. But it was quite cool. They basically had attached like a branch to this rubber ring, you know, a life ring that you throw in to help someone, and they lowered it down the side of this dam, and the king cobra climbed onto the life ring in the branch, and they brought it back up. And the king cobra was apparently had been in there for 2 days swimming in this water.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible, isn't it?
I know, yeah. So apparently it had been in there for 2 days swimming in this water, and they lowered this life ring down, and it climbed on, and they brought it all the way up, and it literally, it didn't move. It was just sitting by the side of this road in this little hole, probably exhausted, yeah.
You know what it said to him when they lifted it up? It said something. He went, thanks.
Wow.
We've had
some bad jokes on this podcast.
But I mean,
that just topped all of them.
If you're gonna interrupt the guest midway through a story, Hoss, at least make it good.
I mean, to be fair, this isn't even scripted, so that's kind of good.
You know what I mean? Off the cuff.
Oh, don't encourage him. See,
me and Charlie, mate, were tight.
Yeah, I bet you are. That's a lady boy, isn't it?
not after Danny gets hold of you, you won't be.
No, you won't. I'm going to throw you around like rag dolls.
Oh, man. So, have you got any more stories?
Sorry, just going back to that then. So what happened then with the King Cobra?
Sorry, I was just...
He's just necking something. Yeah, right,
so, yeah. No, I was just sort of like...
He needed something.
Yes. Anyway, we brought it out, we captured it, and actually they also found a juvenile king cobra, like maybe a meter from where we assume was a mother. So we found a baby. It was just the breeding season of king cobras, so there was lots of baby kings being born. So yeah, we got two for one. We found two king cobras released them very nearby. But yeah,
they lay live young, don't they?
No, kings lay eggs.
How do they? Yep. What did I think they lay live? Don't know.
No, kings lay eggs. There is green pit vipers lay live. The green pit vipers lay live.
Yeah, they're totally nothing like king cobras. I have no idea why.
To be honest, Danny, they are both snakes. So you got that bit right.
That's true, yeah.
Is there anything, Charlie,
I reckon it was you who told me they lay live.
I legit just had to turn around and ask my friend that King Cobra was definitely lay eggs.
I'm not the only one.
I'm not making a fool of myself in the show.
Got the expert on, it must be true.
Don't worry. Leave the fooling around to me.
Charlie. Yeah. When you said you was going to, you sort of like released it nearby, is there anything specific that you look for habitat-wise for sort of like king cobra?
Me?
Well, see, the thing is about king cobras is they...
He's still damn it.
No, you said Charlie. You said Charlie.
Oh, did it?
What is the matter with you today?
Literally, I am literally going mental. I'm going to shut up. I'm just going to mute, all right? And I'll leave you guys to it.
Oh, don't do that. God, he actually muted. I can hear it. No, we were sort of driving, and the guy who was running the research, the King Cobra research project, was with us as well. So he was sort of like, "Oh, I'll just tell you when to stop." But we literally drove down the road, and as soon as we got slightly away from like human habitated area, we released them. King Cobras have massive, massive home ranges, so it's a little bit easier with them, probably more than any other snake. When re-releasing them or relocating them, because their home ranges are huge. But we just sort of wanted to release it somewhere that it wouldn't immediately go back to that area. For the most part, when snakes have seen humans or had a bad encounter with humans, which would be even any contact, they would go the other way and not come back for a good while. So,
yeah. I should imagine as well, it's if they start to realise there's a good source of food in that area, that'll be a reason for them to go back.
Sorry, repeat yourself, sorry? One second.
I was just saying that you're saying if they have a sort of like a bad experience with humans, you know, they'll stay away. But if they've had a good experience, i.e. there's a great food source there and they've been able to feed there, that's probably might be an issue where they'll keep them going back.
Exactly, and that's why we try to say, like, when we often get questions like, does this certain repellent work for snakes, like limes we have, or sulfur, there's no actually, like, proved or proven snake repellent. Like, the only thing you can do is keep your grass short, remove any potential shelters, and keep your house clean, like, for rats, so rats don't come into your house.
Yeah, on about snake repellent, I've seen that, where people buy cans of this shit they spray, and it's just like nothing. And like local people buy that, man.
Exactly. It's not proven, but of course local people buy it because they are not a big fan of snakes and they want them out of the house. And they'll sort of believe what they think. And if one person has had it and they said, "Oh, we've had no snakes in our house, we use this." It's like, "Oh, this must work." So they'll buy it.
Yeah. See, I heard there's like an anti-hoss spray, but that doesn't work either.
Really?
Nah, I keep turning up, mate.
It's a blend of anything healthy.
I will start wrapping up now, but thank you for coming on to the show.
No, I've got one last question.
Oh God, I've got to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
It's not like a question. It's more of like
3 o'clock in the morning now for me.
It's a thing, Charlie.
Go for it.
To all of the listeners, right? No matter, so you have to generalize here. So no matter where they are, USA, UK, where else have we got people? Australia, Germany, we've got people all over listening, right? So generalize here. If someone has to relocate a snake, right, what are two tips you can give to people?
Okay. Firstly, if you really don't need to relocate that snake, and I would say that the main reasons would be if you have pets, dogs, or kids that are constantly in your garden, which is where I'd assume it would be, or if it's in your house, relocate it to your garden. But if you have kids or dogs or cats, then that would be the main reason to relocate it, to put the snake out of harm's way. Then relocate it as close as possible, like over the fence, 10 meters away, wherever. Because you have to bear in mind that that animal is keeping pests out of your house or your garden. So ideally, you do want that animal within your premises anyway. So that would be the main thing. But also, don't relocate it if you don't know how. If it's a venomous animal and can potentially cause you harm, it's a lot better to just leave it or call someone that does know what they're doing to relocate it for you, I would say. That'd be the two main things, covering a few different points there.
Make sure you know what it is first.
That's a good call. And also know what it is. I mean, for the UK, I would say, I mean, the only species that you potentially want to move a little bit would be an adder. That would only be to be protecting your kids or dogs, but that would also just be over the fence.
If I had an adder in my back garden, I'd just call the dive work.
Yeah, I'd welcome it. How can I keep this snake in my garden?
Yeah, start throwing mice out into the garden.
Without touching it. Yeah. I'll leave that to defrost there, and I'll leave that to defrost there.
That hardly estate that had adders on their porch, I'll put this
corrugated
sheet here.
You could do like a little YouTube documentary. You could be like, oh, yes, Mr. Adder, and you got a little menu. Would you like the ratto or the rat? Or would you like the mouse or the frog?
Excel mouse.
Be great. I'd love it. Right, anyway, so we'll start wrapping up. But Charlie, thank you for saving the bacon.
Hang on. There's loads of stuff, mate, we've got to talk about. You know we need to keep Hoss up for a few hours.
I've got to go to fucking Scotland.
It's already 3 a.m. here.
Is it 3 a.m. there, Charlie?
Yeah. Oh, mate, you're an absolute legend.
You got nothing.
I have.
Minutes notice at 2 o'clock in the morning. Bang.
I don't think it was a minute's notice, mate. It was like 30 seconds. But literally.
Is it actually 3 a.m. in the morning and you've just come on the podcast like it's nothing?
It's actually 3 a.m.
What the fuck were you doing up at 2 a.m. to say,
hey, he's in Thailand, mate. Are we having time out?
I don't give a fuck if he's in Mars. At 2 o'clock, I'm going to bed. I'm in sleep.
Hey, literally, his reply was brilliant there. So I was like, I guess has let us down for tonight. You fancy recording? It seems like a shame to waste this room. He was like, tonight? I was like, yeah, ASAP. You can even introduce the show. He was like, bro, I'm half pissed. And I was just like, what? And we're not.
I've not had a drink. I haven't had one little sip of alcohol tonight.
You sure?
I haven't, no.
Have you had a bucket?
No, nothing.
A bucket of?
I'm making up for it on next week's show, though.
Oh, God. Make sure we don't bring Dave Clemens in then again. Right, so that is about it for this week.
I've got a joke.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh my God, is it a dad joke?
It's one of Billy's jokes and it really made me laugh in the car earlier. He went, Dad, I've got a dark joke. Am I allowed to tell you? And I was like, It's a dark joke.
Yes, go on.
And he went, what do you get if you burn a church down? And I was like, I don't know, hot cross nuns.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's just brilliant. Son.
Right. So, on that note, I'm going to keep talking. And if they talk over me, I'll sort it out in the edit. But thank you, Charlie, for joining us for this podcast this week. You've really saved the bacon. And I will try and get over to you as soon as possible. So for anyone who's listening, I do apologise for, you know why I'm apologising. If you do want to help support the podcast, then please head on over to reptileandchill.com. You can like our hoodies and t-shirts for sale. Our social media is at usual, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube at the handle of Reptile and Chill. And if you do want to take it a little bit further with your support, you can go on our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/reptileandchill. That is it. Next week is an absolute doozy of a show, so make sure you tune in.
Oh, I tell you what, it's going to be a scream next week.
Why?
It really is.
We can't
Who's
tell
coming
them.
On next week?
No, don't tell them. Shh.
Right. Who is it?
No one.
You know who it is. Who was talking the other day?
No one knows who that is.
Anyways.
It's got no friends.
Charles.
It has got no friends. Charles. So I just accepted you as a friend anyway.
Guys, Charlie.
Yes.
Love you, bye.
Same time.
Ooh, friend, bye. Ooh, podcast friend.
Dano, get on the naughty step.
I love you.
I'll see you there in a minute.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to bed.